Roy if he wants to join us at some point. I knew he's in the office.
He is. Go
he's
ahead,
probably
Bob.
On the phone.
He probably is. You're recording, so go ahead, Bob.
Okay. I'd like to welcome everybody to the Powder Mountain Water and Sewer Improvement District monthly meeting. This is November 10th at 3 p.m. We have a quorum. Additionally, in attendance is Carrie Zenger and Roy Watts. Again, like to welcome everybody. There are no members of the public in attendance. Moving on to item C, approval of consent items, request for approval of the minutes for the meeting held on October 13th, 2022. Does anybody have any questions or concerns about the minutes? Bob Bingham?
Yeah, so I sent a note to Carrie in item G, I think it was, where we talked about the our Yamagata action after closed session in the last meeting. There was a couple of misspellings that we might want to fix because that'll probably be zeroed in on.
Right, those have been fixed.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I think I've got actually revised copy now. Mm-hmm. I found a couple spell typos as well. So have those been fixed, Carrie, or are we
yes.
Certain of that?
Yes, the ones I sent you were that they were the same two typos that that Trustee Bingham was referring to.
Great, thank you.
Okay, so does anybody else have any questions, concerns, comments on the monthly meetings as typed? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Yes, I make a motion that we approve the minutes from the last meeting.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second, Bob Bingham. We need a roll call right now, Carrie. Is that what we need to do?
Yes, we do. We need a roll call. So, Trustee Barrett?
Okay. Aye.
Trustee Bingham?
Aye.
Trustee Cabot?
Aye.
Trustee Wilson? You're on mute.
Aye.
Thank you.
Okay. Moving right along to business items number D, number two, final vote to approve filing of eminent domain. This is an item that we've discussed in closed session. I believe that is the intention of this board to move forward with an eminent domain filing on the properties associated with our existing sewer lagoons. Do we have any discussion? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
I make the motion then to approve the filing of eminent domain on our sewer lagoon property.
Do I hear a second?
I'll second.
Ron Wilson seconded. Carrie, roll call, please.
Trustee Barrett?
Aye.
Trustee Bingham?
Aye.
Trustee Wilson?
Aye.
Trustee Cabot?
Aye.
Okay. We're on item D, business items. Number three, the 2023 tentative budget review. This is something that we've reviewed extensively as a board, and I'd like to thank everybody who's participated in these discussions. It's actually an item on our public hearing that would require more in-depth discussion, possibly, and a formal ratification as part of a public hearing. Does anybody have any items to discuss relative to the proposed 2023 budget in this regular monthly meeting? Hearing none, no action will be taken. Let's move forward to the financial report. Carrie, can you walk us through? There was an extensive packet
Absolutely.
That was disseminated. So Carrie, can you walk us through the financial report, please?
All right, everybody's got their Ron has not looked at this yet because I didn't receive the actual statements for the accounts until this morning, so Ron will have to come out and do that, but I did print off copies. So the Visa statements, all the bank bank accounts, everything else, we've got, I don't know what that is. In the general, or excuse me, in the impact account, we've got $666,000. In the general account, there's $514,000. And then in the impact account, I don't know, I don't think anything had gone through yet with the transfer, so there's about $7,000 in there. All your PTIP accounts, I don't know if you want to go through those individually. It states on there which account it is for which bond. Sorry, I'm just grabbing them here. So with each bond, it gives you the remaining balance of what there is to spend. And well, DDW does not put the entire balance in, they only did half. So that one is not showing properly. Your disbursement account, of course, you realize that those are just the ones we disperse at the end of the year, where you've got your balloon payment. Pizzelle Springs has got $275,168.18 left to spend on that bond. Your general account, of course, has got only about $58,000 because that's what you use to, you know, to process each one of them. Pizzelle 1, of course, is finalized. There's only $2 left. The DDW bond, we've got $677,602.47 left to spend on the first half of what they gave us. And Cobabe, there's about $41,932 left. And then, of course, your retainage accounts, which we have to keep, and each goes up each time I send in a requisition. So your profit and loss, I know Amy has got that up to date. That will show, that shows up to date on your profit and loss and your budgets versus actuals. So I don't know if there's any questions you guys have with that. Those are up to date as of the end of the month. So that shows you about where we stand as far as our, as far as where we are with our budget. And we're pretty much in sync. There's a couple of items on there that we, you know, on your income that we did go over, we did not anticipate. But as far as expenses go, I don't know if you have any questions on that. I don't know if you've had any time to look at it.
Ron Wilson.
Yeah, I'm not really questions. I just need clarification, mm-hmm. Carrie. On line 9205, you got Cobabe well bond for, I don't know what it was. It was like 9,000 something. And you said, we'll move or something to that effect. I got lost there. What's that? Where are you moving it to?
Okay, so what they do at the end of the year before we do our audit, when we do a bond, we do what is called like a CIP, construction in process. So in other words, we haven't finalized the bond. We haven't finalized, you know, it's still in construction portion. And at the end of the year, they move, Chuck will move before the audit. He moves all of those dollar amounts that we've spent on that bond to an account that they calculate what has been spent. I'm not quite sure how he does that, but that's basically, we put it into the construction and process portion of it. And then at the end of the year, they calculate that. That is technically probably a question more for Chuck, but that's the way that they have us doing it. It's in process,
so
it's not.
Do we have 42,000 or 42,000 minus 9,000?
No, what is left is the 42,000. That's after the 9,000
left.
Yes, 42,000 left after this 9,000 that we had spent. Yes, this right here with Rodman doing the drilling and that's, you know, doing the well that he's done in the last couple of months. So the actual balance in the PTIF account of 42 is after this 9,000.
Okay. When you have budget versus actual, you got, you know, from January to whatever, to current,
mm-hmm.
I don't know what the date of the information is. Is it actually 31 October or was it like the end of September? I'm just trying to figure out where we are on that.
It would, when I ran it, it would have probably been ran right around the first of November in order to be in the board packet. I usually don't print anything until after the month, previous month, so that you have current totals. Amy tries to have everything done and reconciled before I run these reports.
Would you mind at all putting a date on?
Sure.
So I know what the date of the information is. Would that be doable?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. And then I got two more questions.
Sure.
We're 300% over in insurance and safety and some sewer repairs. Does the board need to take action to move that money? I mean, from some other line item to cover those overages? It just seems like that's a board responsibility. I'm not sure that, you know, we're doing anything. Maybe you can help me out there when we go over like that so bad.
Okay, so, from what I was told, because I did look into this, from what I was told, and I can look into it further if you'd like, but the bottom line, when Chuck does his, when at the end of the year, and when you're looking at your yearly totals, the only thing that he publishes is, you know, did we go over in our budget? Not line items, but did we go over? So we have the 1.3 million, did we go over 1.3, which we did not. Because we are an enterprise account, we do have certain thresholds, you know, that we are allowed to go over. Because we don't have to worry about the line items, from what I understand, as long as your bottom line says you did not go over what you budgeted for that year.
Well, that kind of defeats the purpose of budgeting, doesn't it? I mean, why don't we just give you a number and say that's your goal, make it work? It doesn't make any sense to me, so that's why I'm asking the question. I mean, it seems like we should be doing some things along the way, as opposed to saying, here's the pot of money, take what you want where you want. You see what I'm saying?
I do, and I can look into that further, unless, Roy, you've got another explanation.
Yeah, so typically what Carrie's saying is right. You're going to have, you've got a budget that's, you do the best you can to figure out what that's going to be for the year. And things do happen along the way, just like the sewer expenses could get you in trouble or something like that. And that's why they're brought to the boards on a quarterly basis. At least you're looking at the budget and you're looking at it every month, so that you realize what's going on and look at the financials and everything else. You have a chance to really analyze it. During the last quarter and the budget hearing, the board can say we approve or we elect to move money to cover these items, or we recognize what they are. The bottom line really is what's important in an enterprise fund, which is what we are, to make sure that we try to stay within the budget. It's kind of crazy, but an enterprise fund like us, we can operate very much like a business, where you can actually operate in a loss. I know it sounds kind of weird, but you can do it. State legislature recognizes that because they're infrastructure intensive.
I just feel like we're not doing our jobs of managing the budget if we don't take a look and move money. I mean, there's no sense in even having a budget. Just have a dollar amount and don't even worry about it. We'll just sort it out at the end of the year. We'll, you know, we'll shoot some artillery and count the bodies and we'll get done.
We could do that on the quarters. When you do the quarterly reports at that time, I guess we could analyze each one of the accounts and determine where they're at and talk about why they are where they're at and maybe how we're going to adjust them later on so that we manage it throughout the year. That's possible.
It just seems to me, Roy, that I don't have a problem with the fact that they're over, and I know why they're over, but it seems to me that you guys would come to the board and say, okay, we're way overspent here. We recommend that we pull money from here and allocate it, you know, in this fashion or whatever. That doesn't make sense to anybody. I'll stand down. But
yeah, we can do that. We can do that so that the board's helping to manage, so make sure they know where the money's going.
I think it makes a ton of sense to do that. I just wonder if the mechanism exists to be able to record it or know or understand that, you know, what it is we're changing. So if we were to say, for example, we need to cover the legal bills, would we then move money, and then would that adjust the budget for, so in our next board meeting, would we see the increase in the budget, and then therefore the compliance at a particular line item now would be, you know, 80% of the budget as opposed to 117% of the budget. I mean,
yeah,
I don't know.
That's a good problem.
And then are we going to remember that? Because right now I can quickly look at the budget and know which ones were over. And each month I can go, okay, I mean, we're still over on all these things. I kind of think of it more of the year-end stuff we're going to catch up on and make those adjustments now when we're talking about the new budget. But I don't know. It's just, I guess it's a mechanical thing.
I don't know. I don't know what's best. I guess defer to Rob here.
Yeah, no, there's clearly usefulness in structuring a budget. And you do your best, obviously, that this is, we're based off of history, of what it cost in the past and what the revenue was in the past and so forth. And it gives us a structure. And then as Roy says, you look at it each month and you go, okay, how is that going and why? And then as we get closer to the end here, you start to see some of the real, the biggies, the big ones, like that insurance, like I picked up on that, 300 and some odd percent over budget. Well, why? Well, we didn't realize we're taking ownership of the infrastructure. Like, okay, we got the infrastructure finally transferred over, so now we need a lot of insurance to back that up. Did we know that was coming? No, we've been working on it for years. So it's useful to see the ones that are way off. And then we can speak to those and they, okay, I see, why is that? and then helpful for the for now our new budget process. Like, oh yeah, right, insurance. We've got to be sure that we've got a whole lot more in that line item because we've taken on that extra expense. It is what it is. So that's why.
And I know why we're in those areas and why we're in the at the place we are. I just wondered if we had an obligation to do something as a board. Okay.
Yeah, let us,
don't want to be in violation of some state auditor's problem or issue.
Good point.
Let us check into it for you in just the next day or so. We'll get back and make sure if it is a problem, Ron, we'll adjust whatever how we're doing business so we do it right.
Yeah, it's not a big deal. It was just a point. And I had one last thing, Carrie.
Yeah.
You had a charge of Prince for Love. Was that for the board members that you're giving us something here, Prince for Love?
Yes.
That invitation that you received in the mail, Ron.
Oh, okay. I just wanted to make sure.
That little love note you got, Ron.
All right.
Let's make sure that we assign the proper pronouns if we're going to be individualized.
That's all I have. I'm on.
Well, thank you. Enlightening discussion. Thank you once again, Ron, for bringing critical issues up, and Rob. And Bob. Rob, do you, as treasurer, have any additional comments, questions, or concerns about the financial circumstances of the district?
No, I looked it over quite closely this month and chatted with Carrie. And I had nothing to stand out other than what we're sort of discussing right now, insurance and safety costs and so forth. But, yep, I'm good.
I'm good. Okay. Barring any additional discussions, we'll move on to item D, business items, electronic meeting policy. I believe the board had a chance to preview this electronic meeting policy. It's going to be a subject that will redundantly appear on the maybe not. What do we need to do on this, Carrie? Do we need to take action right now to approve the policy?
For the electronics meeting, yeah, there's a resolution. Just pass the resolution.
You know, and you told me that an hour ago. God, scary. Okay, does anybody have any questions or concerns about the electronic meeting policy? Okay. Hearing no questions or concerns, we'll move on to item D, business items number 6, resolution 2022-03, electronic meeting policies and procedures. I'll entertain a motion to approve those policies and procedures.
I recommend that we approve resolution 2022-03, electronic meeting policies and procedures.
I'll second.
Rob Cabot. Carrie, can you call the roll, please?
Trustee Barrett?
Aye.
Trustee Bingham?
Aye.
Trustee Wilson?
Aye.
Trustee Cabot?
Aye.
Okay. We're going to move on now to item D, business items number 7, 2023 board meeting calendar. Carrie, this can be adjusted in real time if there's legitimate conflicts that will affect our quorum. Let me just say that.
Yes.
Carrie, would you lead out on our meeting calendar and make a recommendation, please?
Absolutely. The calendar I followed for 2023 was the calendar we have right now, which is every other Thursday at 10 o'clock. I do have to have that posted to the website. It is a tentative, so if there's a reason we need to adjust throughout the year, I just have to make it public that says we're changing our meetings to this certain date. But it's just another calendar to follow so that, people have an advance notification that we are holding board meetings. They will be tentatively held on these days at this time. So it's got to be posted by the end of December. So.
Okay, does any of you that have looked at it, and I have, do you have any specific identifiable conflicts right now that we could make any immediate changes and solidify this? Carrie, for me, June 10th, I'm in conflict on that date.
Okay, if we pass, if there's no other conflicts, we can deal with that later down the road and just make note of it now. That's not a problem.
Fair enough.
And I'll be gone in April, so it doesn't matter. I mean, we're all going to be in and out. So.
In and out.
Absolutely.
And it's very fluid, mm-hmm. and we can adjust this within the time frame of the notice requirements.
Right. The only one that we cannot adjust, and I will always give you enough notice, is public hearing in November, because once that goes out to the counties and they put that on the tax notifications, you can't touch that. So we will have that conversation like we do every year. Is this a good date before we do that?
Okay. Any additional discussion on the calendar? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve the proposed board meeting calendar 2023.
Yeah, I'll make that motion that we approve that calendar.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Bob Bingham. Carrie, roll call, please.
Trustee Barrett?
Aye.
Trustee Bingham?
Aye.
Trustee Wilson?
Aye.
Trustee Cabot?
Aye.
Thank you. We're on item D, business items, number 8, other business items.
Chair, we just had a public walk-in behind Roy. I got notification a few minutes ago he went to the wrong building. I think he's a representative of Eden Heights, but I'm not sure.
We'll allow Roy to interact with this gentleman. Other business items, I mean, just some broad discussions as it relates to what otherwise might be known as a manager's report. I won't truncate or preempt Roy's, but we've got to talk about a couple little things up there.
Can we jump ahead to something easy? Or
adjourn's my favorite, but okay. You know, my impression is that Rocky Mountain Power is still a bit of a sticky wicket, and not to mention the weather. You're welcoming someone, obviously.
Yeah, this is Ryan Cadwalder. He's with Eaton Heights. Remember, he was on the Zoom call?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. We may have mistaken that this was by Zoom, so they sent me here, so I apologize for interrupting, but I just, if easier, I just wanted to note my appearance for Eden Heights and that we continue to see if we can work things out. My understanding is the district is likely going to move ahead with the action. We will likely elect mediation through the state ombudsman if we go forward. So, but I just wanted to be here to just get that on the record in the minutes if needed.
We appreciate that. And we, again, to reiterate, we look forward to serving your development. It's an exciting development. We hope to meet your needs in the future and protect our interests at the same time.
That's great. Thank you. Perfect. I don't know if you have any more discussion on that today or...
No, we don't, but feel free to reach out to us and let's get to the right place on this.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Sounds good. I appreciate it. Appreciate stopping by. We'll
be in touch soon. Okay, great. Thank you.
So Roy, we're in the other business, and we're moving along pretty well time-wise. Can you just provide some color on where you think we are, very briefly, on the project and DDW and these sorts of things, so the other board members can become aware of the status report on that project?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, we've got the contracts, two of them signed, for Pump House 2 and Pump House 3 for the transformers to be put in. Rocky Mountain Power right now is still waiting for some components, they tell me. They still have a plan to get the transformers installed this year. Rough weather, but evidently they say they work in all weather conditions, so that's still underway. The contractor will be working inside of Pump House 5 as much as they can, probably trimming out electrical and stuff throughout the year, the winter. Pump House 4, they're getting pretty isolated at this point. I'm not sure what more they're going to be able to do, but it's kind of where they're at right now. And, all we can do is just see how things play out at this point. They are working on the chlorinator at the Pump House 1 and trying to get that installed. As I mentioned to Bob earlier, little bit of a pushback from Summit, their operations guys. They don't like the fact that we're going to plow in front of that building. You know, we're going to have to. We have to get in. It's a public facility. They worry about it being, I believe, they don't want us taking it down to the gravel so the skiers have to go across rock or whatever on their skis. We did provide a way for them to ski around the backside if they need to, but I talked to Coulter a little few minutes ago, and we'll try and keep that snow packed. We don't have a problem with driving on the snowpack, and we don't need it down to the gravel. We just need to be able to get off the road out of the way of people so that we can pull in there and be working on things like the chlorinator and SCADA and some other fine-tuning is going to go on in that building still for the next little while. So we'll work through that. We may have to get a hold of the new CEO or new manager and work it out with him, but we do have to have access to those buildings 24/7. Right. They just don't want us parking a bunch of equipment in there and impeding the ski traffic, but the reality is life is not going to be the same there as it was before, no matter how bad they want to be that way. All we can to make it passable and safe and everything else, that's the plan.
This but is, this is to, for Pump House 4?
Pump House 1.
Pump House 1. Oh, yeah.
So... You know, Roy, I would emphasize to Coulter when he interacts with Nate that it's an agreed upon policy that we can get in there whenever we want and need to. It's a public utility. We're not intent on interfering with their ski operations. In fact, the resort is closed now, okay, technically closed. So they're still under their emergency, you're on your own operational policy. And make sure that they know that it's their responsibility to stake off areas that they consider to be a hazardous, particularly Pump House 4. I'm telling you, that's a hazard. Pump House 1, to get down in there, you have to be off course, but Pump House 4 is in play.
Yeah.
So if we could just emphasize to them that their safety team needs to be aware of that.
Yeah, we've tried to alert them to that we will do whatever they tell us. So it's really up to them making those safety calls, not us. So whatever needs to be done in any of those facilities, if we can help and mark anything or whatever, we're up for it.
Right.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Roy. Go ahead.
No, that's okay. I was just going to say we'll do whatever they have, whatever they ask us to do.
Okay. Yeah,
Pump House 1 is just to get down to the bus turnaround point for Outer Country. I mean, that's what they have to do.
And
by there.
Right. And again, like I told Coulter, you know, having lived around this stuff my life too, it's so easy to just not take it down to the asphalt or to the gravel. Just leave some snow and they can ski across it and we can drive on it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Hey, yeah. Mark, is there any license required for the chlorinator? Just a question.
Of course, it all has to be permitted through the state. Larry, who works on our sewer lagoons, he's actually with Aqua Engineering. He's the one installing that. And he'll make sure it's all permitted and get the approvals to the state and the quantities of chlorine's being used and everything's going to have to be certified. So,
I just wondered about our guys, if they... You know, if they drop chlorine in, do they have to have certain license or equipment or something?
Yeah, there's another level of certification for operating with chlorine. Yep.
Okay. Roy, I want to bring up the issue about DDW formal approval. We've had reassurances that this was on track and going to meet the expectations of the regulatory agencies.
Right.
Brant's been tasked with ensuring that this checklist becomes completed to DDW's satisfaction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, as I mentioned in our staff meeting, I just recently sent him another email with all of those that the state gave us basically a punch list back 2 or 3 years ago, and to prepare to use that well. And, you know, we're working through those things, most everything. Brad, the biggest issue for me was him making sure that the water, that we had all the certifications we need and the operating permits, and that we had the, that we were sure that we had the sewer issue and any other contamination around dealt with.
Right.
And he keeps telling us that he has, and I sent him a reminder email with that punch list and said, I need a report back when this is going to be done and if it will be beat, so I can report to the board that everything, all these conditions have been met so that we're able to operate that in a few months. We may be turning that on soon, and if it is, all this has to be done. So, you know, he's out of town, and otherwise he'd be here to defend himself, but I think we need to have that report from him of what's to be done, what's left to be done, and when it will be completed.
Yes. You know, we're operating on one source. Reintroduction of approved quantity and quality of source is of paramount importance to this district this year.
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to try and cobble through another winter season with a single source.
Yep.
And wait for spring MPA approval from DDW. Okay.
Yep.
Do you have anything else in the form of other business, Roy?
No, not right now. But just something I'll just let you know. So we did put the new circuit board that burned up because of the Rocky Mountain Power outage, planned power outage, and they say there are no spikes, there is no dirty power, but somehow every time they work on their stuff, somehow destroys ours. But we did get the new control boards up and running, so the SCADA system's up and running. So just so you understand how this affects us. So they've only had that down for a while, and we were down at 12 feet. Typically we try and keep it at 14, but we were down about 12 feet before they got that turned back on. And they've been doing that manually for the last week or so. So keeps kind of pointing to the critical nature of multiple sources of water and additional storage on that mountain all the time. If we were in the middle of ski season, we might have about emptied that tank.
Got
so it doesn't have to be the well going down. It can be electronics. It can be so many more things. And your community is at risk up there without additional well sources and without additional storage. So just got to work through it somehow, get it done. But we see it. It's just kind of on the fringes of being just a little bit scary.
Okay.
But they've got it up and running now, and it's pumping. It'll fill back up. And guys are doing a good job keeping an eye on things and staying on top of that stuff too.
Are there any additional protections that we could put on that, the electronics in the well up there, or is it everything that we can do has been done?
Yeah, so we thought that we had everything. So we did everything we could to protect the motor and the drive and all those electronics, but the SCADA took the hit this time. Mm-hmm. So and we put surge suppressors and lightning arresters and all kinds of other devices on the incoming power. Sometimes brownouts seem to take these things out, just like they do with your computer. And, you know, there could be on the SCADA, we may have to go to a battery backup. It'd be pretty robust, but it may mean that that's what we do. Sometimes that'll work when you shut everything down and clamp that down in nanoseconds and protect the system. I'll check into it. The guys are working on our SCADA right now. The newer system's going in Pump House 5, and I'll ask them about fixing that portion of it on the SCADA system. But we've got that same vulnerability with all of the other lift stations too. And I'm not sure why Pump House 5 seems to take the hit all the time. I guess maybe where it's at, the fact that it's grounded to the earth so deeply with those big wells and stuff in the area.
Yeah.
Could be that.
Okay. Anybody else have anything? Bob Bingham?
No, I was just gonna say, this brownout thing is taking out a lot of other things too. I mean, my refrigerator's gone after a really short amount of time, and
it blew the circuit board in my garage opener. I unplugged the thing when I leave town.
It's amazing how so the power that Rocky Mountain's delivering is crap up there, and it goes down more than it ever should. So
yeah, and so it took out their own equipment, their own breakers. It destroyed another device. I don't remember what it was now. Something inside of Pump House 1 is taking out this equipment on top. It's taking out the equipment for the homeowners. And when I questioned the technician who was out there, he said, "Oh, this can't be us. How can you blame us? We just turned it on and we short out all your stuff." It was really kind of, disrespectful in his comments, I thought. But
yeah,
but something needs to be done. There's no question about it. Whether it's just dirty power or it's the way they turn it back on, what happens, I don't know, but something's not right.
Maybe we can work with Powder Mountain staff on this. They must suffer this on all of their equipment and such things. And going with a unified voice of, like, everybody up here is having huge problems, we're losing money, we're going to hold you guys liable unless you do something.
Kind of this $200 circuit breaker thing on a garage door opener.
Yeah, something needs to be done. Yeah, Mark told me many times, he said that the power up here is dirty. And he named several different things that they had recognized in the way that the type of power was being delivered to their system, and it had done tens of thousands of dollars worth of damage to their equipment. So it can't go on. It's extremely expensive. It's cost the district, you know, probably $20,000 now too.
Yeah. Well, we'll need to work through that as part of a work session and devise a strategy.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody else have any other business? Roy's completed his manager's report as part of item D, business items. Hearing none, let's move on to item E, request for motion to adjourn the public meeting for a closed strategy session to discuss the acquisition of real property, including any form of water right and any pending or reasonably imminent litigation.
Yes, I make that motion to close the public meeting.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Bob Bingham. Kerry, roll call, please.
Trustee Barrett.
You're muted, Kerry.
Trustee Barrett.
Aye.
Trustee Bingham.
Aye.
Trustee Wilson.
Aye.
Trustee Cabot.
Aye.
Okay, we're in close.